Who remembers at the church weekend, Peter Eyre spoke to us? Do you remember what he said before every time he preached? He said, he said, I've still got L plates on. Do you remember that? Anybody remember what the L plate stood for? Yeah, a learner. And there was another one that was a bit more vital, I think. No?
Blood of Jesus.
No, no. We were loved. Loved. And so I feel very much like I've got L plates on, because the last time I preached was 18 years ago, and I only preached 3 times then. Actually, I feel like I've got a word for anybody, because there were times during that 18 years I kind of discounted myself from ever preaching again. And I believe I've got a word for somebody that may have discounted themselves from something that they feel the Lord has called them to do, but the opportunity's never come for them. And I just feel like God would say, hang in there, your time will come. So it does. He's faithful. If he's called you to it, the opportunity will come for you, for whatever it is he's called you to do. It could be singing, playing an instrument, preaching, even just doing tea and coffee. Who knows? Whatever it is, don't discount yourselves. Don't ever do that, because God has got a plan for your life. So the last time I did preach, it was around about the time of 9/11. So that was kind of put an interesting slant on a few sermons about that time. And I remember people saying that a prophetic clock had started ticking at that time, which, I don't know, I think the prophetic clock already began, and that was on 14th of May 1948, which was when, just as was prophesied, Israel became a nation in one day again. They became a nation in just one day. That's when God's prophetic clock started ticking. I receive an email every week from somebody who lives in Galilee. And it's like a newsletter. It comes every week. Always worth a read. And this week he wrote, after over 400 rockets were fired at Israel this week, the constant threat of being wiped out by Israel's enemies, like Iran, for example, and that they still haven't been able to form a government. He wrote that in the middle of all this, we still rejoice in the hope that we have. For us believers, it's the soon rapture to be with Jesus forever. We just sung about that, actually, in that last song. I love that song. That's really good, because it talks about us rising to be with him and then entering in the wedding, bells ringing. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's so exciting. So for us believers, it's the soon rapture to be with Jesus forever. And for Israel, it's the promise of God's intervention in the coming attack from the north. In the meantime, we are called to preach the word, teach the word, and keep the word. And that last paragraph, I really believe, is a word for today. To preach the word, teach the word, and keep the word. In fact, for some of us, it could be read the word. Get stuck into the Bible. I remember years ago, a preacher holding up his, he had a big black Bible, and he held it up like that, and he said, whatever you do, don't stray from this. Read it every day, and you'll never stray far. So get stuck in the word. But you find, like, at the moment, there are so many things going on in the world today. You see on the news every day different nations protesting, violence, extreme weather. Just turmoil, it seems, in every nation. Even here in the UK, there's that uncertainty. And I think we're living in the most exciting days of the church, of church history. I think we're seeing prophecies lining up that were spoken of 2,600 years ago. They're all coming into place right now. For example, in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, it speaks of three particular nations that will come together, as I mentioned in that letter, the coming attack from the north. That's Iran, Turkey and Russia. That was prophesied 2,600 years ago. And all of the prophecies we see, particularly in the Old Testament, they've all, those that have come to pass 100% accurate, and those that still haven't accurate, haven't happened yet, will be 100% accurate. It's like so exciting to see God is going to be moving in these days. I thought Stuart did an excellent job this morning. So good, Stuart. He spoke about how God is a God of compassion, and that Jesus is a perfect pattern of God's compassion and of his truth. That compassion that Jesus had, it caused him to move and not keep silent. And then as he finished off, which was in OCs, so this won't be on the recording, the last bit, I thought that. So for those who missed the end of Stuart's message, he spoke about how Stuart spoke on the prodigal, no, not prodigal, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And at the end of that parable, it talks about Mary and Martha and how Mary spent time at Jesus' feet, whereas Martha was distracted by many things. And Stuart encouraged us, challenged us actually, to spend time in Jesus' feet. And then we too will receive God's compassion so that then we can reach out to other people. I'm sure there have been times when you've been aware of God's compassion come over you. Maybe you see somebody, a homeless person in the street, or you hear of a story about somebody, or you just see somebody, and all of a sudden you feel such compassion, and you know that it's not your natural sort of feelings, but it's God's compassion flowing through you. So what I want to talk about tonight really is what I believe God has been laying on my heart really is for us to be a people who share the good news of Jesus, to make a point of doing that, that we do share the gospel. One of the things Stuart mentioned this morning, that God has appointed us to the mission field that he has for us. So that could be back at home, your neighbourhood, place you work, people, your friends you see, wherever it is he's called you to go, that's where, that's your mission field. And we read in, as we read, like the full armour of God in Ephesians 6, it talks of putting on the readiness, putting on our feet the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And there are so many places it speaks about just being ready with the gospel, having a heart to share what we have found, such good news, to share it with other people. I'm going to read from Matthew 28, 18 to 20. You can find it if you like. I don't know the page number. It's the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion. It's the Great Commission. So I'll let you find that. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Okay. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And then in Ephesians, in two different chapters, Paul encourages us to redeem the time, to make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil, and to boldly make known the mystery of the gospel. You might ask, why should I share the gospel? That's not my gifting. I believe we can all share the gospel. It's not just for the evangelist. That we all know the truth because the truth has set us free. So therefore, We can just share our story. I'm going to share my story soon. Jesus said, as we've just read, Jesus said to share the gospel. But also, it deepens our walk with God. I have found over the years, when I shared my faith, you get quite a high from doing that. Because afterwards, you feel like, oh, yes, come on, that was so good. Yeah, you're just filled with the Holy Spirit as well. And you just feel like that Jesus just talking about you. It doesn't matter what the reaction was. I love talking about you. I think if you love somebody, you're going to talk about them, aren't you? Let's face it. You're going to do that. It's a privilege to share the one we love, isn't it? And also it's a joy. We share it because hell is real. Sometimes a lot of churches don't preach hell. Thankfully, Stephen does. And as we grow in compassion, again, as Stuart mentioned this morning, as we grow in compassion by sitting at Jesus' feet, and because we are light, we don't hide our light under a bushel or under a lamp stand. Because of that compassion we grow in, we cannot keep silent. Just like Jesus couldn't keep silent, we just have to speak out. I heard this the other week, and it was this week. There were so many things this week that seemed to confirm that the Lord wanted me to encourage people to share the gospel. I heard this, that in the next 60 seconds, 120 people globally will breathe their last breath. That's like incredible, isn't it? 120 people. You know, you can close your eyes on this earth. You're going to open them somewhere. Where is it? Is it heaven or is it hell? So as I said, sharing the gospel for all of us, we can all do it and we all should. You think of the disciples after Jesus ascended to heaven. They were all meeting in the upper room for fear of the Jews. They didn't want to go out until the Holy Spirit came upon them. Then they couldn't stay there any longer. They could not keep silent. They had to go out and start preaching. And on that one occasion, 3,000 were added to the church. You think, wow, they had fire in their hearts. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us right now. So I'm going to share my story. So thankfully, I was brought up in church. I'm glad about that. I've experienced different churches. And as I grew up, I heard all the stories, all the Bible stories that you normally are taught in Sunday school and things like that. And we then moved to a Pentecostal church in Bedford, and I saw the power of God at work there. I saw people who, because it's near the bus station in Bedford, people who missed their bus, had to wait an hour for the next one, they wandered into the church. They heard the gospel. They accepted Jesus as their saviour and walked out born again. And you think, wow, that's so good. But people were always being saved there. It seemed like that was part of church. Every week, people were being saved. But also, I saw people being healed. I remember as a child thinking, with my childlike eyes, thinking, if ever I get ill, I'll be fine, because Jesus heals people. So I'd be all right. Jesus will heal me. So, I mean, what a thing to have that sort of faith. Lord, still give me that faith again. So where was I? Oh, yeah, so I saw Jesus at work in the church. I knew of him, but I didn't know him. And I knew I didn't know him. I didn't have that connection. And until one day, it was about this time of year, it was November 1986. At that time, I was into heavy metal music. Yeah, I had long hair, leather jacket, denim jacket with the patches on and all of that stuff. And a motorbike, and studied my best friend that I was with as preschool, right through school until we only just left school. He was killed in a road accident, and that was the turning point for me. Because at that age, when I just turned 17, you feel indestructible, don't you? But I was shocked by that. And I thought, that could have been me. And I cried out to God, I need you, God. And as a result of me crying out to God, I repented. I knew I was a sinner, and I repented. And I believed, I'd heard about Jesus dying on the cross. I know that he died on the cross to take our sins away and that he rose again. But on that day, I believed it and accepted it for myself. And I called on the name of the Lord and confessed him as Lord. So that for me was the turning point. So we could come to church every week. You'd hear the same message again every week. But sometimes it's that connection you need. What happened to me was what is known in Greek as metanoia. Don't know if you've ever heard that word. Metanoia is the journey of changing one's mind, heart, self, or way of life. It's that inner cry. For me, it was that inner cry of, I need a saviour. So metanoia is a change of mind. And that metanoia, that change in our thinking and in our minds, in our lives, can only be a work of the Holy Spirit. So we can share the gospel with people, but we can't get them to change their mind. That is only a work of the Holy Spirit. And the only thing that we can do for them is to pray for them. Prayer is powerful. So as we pray for people, Holy Spirit will move in their life, and we hope and pray that they will have that metanoia, that change of mind. I want to share a couple of stories so after I became a Christian at 17, I was working on building sites at about that time. I was an apprentice painter and decorator. And my first thought was, how am I going to tell the blokes at work tomorrow? But I did. I found a way. They soon realised that I'd changed. And they tried to get me to swear. They never did. But they did try their hardest. And I was the butt of many jokes. But I loved sharing the gospel with them. Being an apprentice, occasionally I wouldn't have anything to do, so I'd just wander around the site, go and chat to the digger driver, the bricklayers, the carpenters, electricians, plumbers, you name it. And I just shared the gospel with them. And it was so exciting. I loved it. It was so good. Like I say, they used to take... I was the butt of many jokes and all of that, but I would find that occasionally those same men would come to me on their own when I was on my own. They would come and seek me out and want to talk. And they would share their problems. And I remember one guy particularly comes to my mind whose name was Clive. Remember, I was probably 18 at this point. Not that worldly wise, really. He came up to me sharing his problems and how he'd got this woman pregnant. And how he didn't know what to do, and how they were thinking of getting an abortion. And he was in a right state. He felt pretty low about himself. And I remember encouraging him to keep the baby and to be the best dad, to put everything you can into being a dad for that baby. Be the best dad you can be. Didn't see him for a while afterwards, but I was in Kempston, went to Kempston Fun Day. This was probably a year later. And we were at the church standing in the park there. And he walked up with his pushchair. And in it was this beautiful little boy. And I saw him and I thought, oh, wow, that's the baby. Is that your son? Yeah. You know, and it was like, he was thrilled. So to me, that is just one of those stories from working on sites. It really sticks in my memory. He wasn't the only person that came to seek me out and share his problems with me, but what a privilege to do that, to serve the Lord like that as just a youngster in a place like a building site. I mean, you can imagine what that's like. It's not quite like the military, but it's not far off. So the last 28 years I've been self-employed. and that is mainly working in people's homes. And over the years, I've had countless opportunities to share Jesus. In fact, I see that as my mission field. I'll often pray in people's homes. If they're there, it's silent. But I have prayed for people as well when they've been ill. I've seen God move in people's lives who have been ill. Lynn has had the privilege of taking phone calls when people have phoned up a few days later and said, would you thank Ian for praying for my knee or for this, that or the other, because it's a lot better now. And I give all the glory to God that they had a healing touch in their lives. But yeah, I've had opportunities to share Jesus with so many people. It hasn't been all the time. There have been seasons when I haven't. But when I was struggling, at one point I was really struggling, I had a wonderful opportunity to share my faith with somebody, and they really received it. I can't remember if they gave their lives to the Lord. I can't remember now, but I do remember this one chap. It was actually in the village here. I was decorating the kitchen. Sorry. And then off of the kitchen was a conservatory. So he was sitting in the conservatory. This couple, they were in their 70s, I'd say. And he was sitting in the conservatory, and we were just chatting while I was painting the kitchen. So I got on to sharing Jesus with him. And as I was doing that and sharing the gospel with him, he started tearing up. And he said, through his tears, he said, "I haven't heard that for so long." He said, I'm a prodigal coming home. I want to come home to Father. And he'd lived, obviously, as a youngster, if I remember rightly, as a youngster, he'd given his life to the Lord, but he'd drifted. And there he was now in his 70s, and he received Jesus again. He was still saved all those years, but he came back to Father. And it was such a privilege to just be used by the Lord in that place. The interesting thing is, I heard a couple of weeks later he died. But you think, wow, in that time he had, he was able to come back to Father. And I just think, wow, that was wonderful. And a similar thing happened to me actually earlier this year. I was working for a couple in the south of Bedford. And quite a few of my customers are elderly, and they like me to eat my lunch with them and sit at the table and have tea and biscuits and all of that sort of thing, and cakes and things like that. And I got to share the gospel with them. And the husband liked the debate, which was fine, that was good. But she was a prodigal. She had drifted. Her dad was a minister in Wales in the early part of the century. And she too. But when I went back, you could tell she was different. She'd come back to the Lord. And you think, yeah, that's brilliant. And loads of opportunities arise. I love that. Even if I don't get the opportunity, I can still pray for people in their homes, and that's great. You can pray over the house. It's lovely. So we need to be people who are active, don't we? Active in sharing our faith, active in praying for people, active in just serving the Lord in wherever he's sent us. I have a friend who uses the phrase, "gossip the gospel." And I think that is just a brilliant way of preaching to people. It's 6 o'clock already. I've got loads still to do. So gossip the gospel basically is just bringing the gospel into our just natural conversation. That's how the Lord wants us to share the gospel. I find that's the most effective way of sharing the gospel, just letting it come out of our conversation, particularly in this day and age, how people are fearful about what's happening, like Brexit, other things going on, whatever's going on in the world. I find a lot of people say that. And you've got an opportunity to say, well, I'm not afraid about that. You know, I believe this and I share my faith that way. Just let it come naturally. So I'll whiz through some of this now. So what is the gospel? You find the gospel in, apart from in John 3:16, which I'm sure we all know, there's in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4, Paul writes, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." The enemy is a father of lies, and he will do anything he can to stop us from sharing Jesus with people. We need to be aware of that. I mean, we might be struggling in one area or another. The enemy's plan is for us to stop sharing Jesus. So can we have the ABCs up there, Dylan? Coming into... I said to Stephen, I said, this bit is coming into land. He said, no, this is where you're taking off. So I like that, that's good. So you'll see up there, this is how... See, I used to share the gospel with people, and I'd share my whole story in every detail, and I must have bored them. This is so much simpler. If you could just remember these A, B, C. Admit you're a sinner. That's that metanoia. That's that turning, that changing of mind. You admit you're a sinner. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then C, call upon the name of the Lord. So I'm just going to run through that. So, A, you admit that you're a sinner, that you've fallen short of God's perfect standard of righteousness. In Romans 3:10, it says, there is no one righteous, not even one. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The death penalty which Jesus came and paid for us instead of us. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. B, believe in your heart. Romans 10 verse 9. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And C, call upon the name of the Lord or confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that God raised him from the dead. This is Romans 10, 9-10, which also says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And lastly, Romans 10, verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I just want to encourage, if there's anybody here who's never called upon the name of the Lord, I implore you to do that. Maybe even before you leave this church today, do so. Don't put it off. We are close. The time is at hand. The Lord is coming for his church very soon. Shall I pray? Yeah. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that the gospel is simple, that it is within each of us. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to be on the lookout for opportunities to share the gospel. Lord, I thank you that when we pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to share the gospel. You answer that prayer. Help us, Lord, to always be ready with the gospel. And help us to remember that it's simple, that we can do it. That it's simple as ABC, to admit, to believe, and to call on your name, Lord. I pray, Father, that we'd have opportunities this week to share Jesus with somebody. I pray that we'd have that wonderful privilege, the greatest miracle of all, of leading somebody to Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd stir our hearts to get excited, to know that joy of sharing you with other people. And I pray for any here tonight, Lord, who have yet to make that connection with you, that tonight will be the night when they'll have that metanoia, that change of mind, and they too will admit and recognize that they're a sinner in need of a saviour. Amen. If anybody wants to... there are some books. Stephen often shows us these. If anybody wants to go through that with me or talk about it with me, You know, there's a book here I could give you. Go on, Will.
Wonderful. Can we put our hands together for Ian? Thank you so much, Ian, for sharing.